This evening to the Gospel of John, John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14 this evening. So one of the things I enjoy about missions conference, there's a lot of things that I enjoy about missions conference, but one of the things I enjoy is hearing the testimonies of the missionaries talk about how God's been faithful to them. And seeing God work in their hearts, seeing God work in their lives. One of the things I enjoy reading those letters and seeing God moving and seeing God, them experience God working in their lives, meeting. I thought about the Max story a few different times when he gave a testimony about how God just provided just unusually. And it was something that encourages my heart. I guess when I think and I consider about all the different things that happen in my lives and working and serving the Lord, the reality is I want to see God work in my life. I want to see God move. I want to see the Lord. I'm not talking about in some type of manifestation that I see him physically, but I want to seek him so that way I will find him. And I will see him be working and moving and see him leading and guiding my steps, seeing him answer prayers, seeing him work and use me. And that's so key. Job 42:5, I wouldn't say this is my life verse, but this is one of those verses that describe a part of my life. And Brother Dave talked about it on, I think it was on Friday at the preacher's meeting. He talked about the story of Job a little bit. But it says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I remember as I was answering God's call to preach in my 20s, probably for the second time, getting serious about it. I was reading through the book of Job and a lot of great things in the book of Job. And I read through it, wasn't getting a ton out of it. But as I was going through it, I was trying to read through my Bible and do the things that I felt like getting my heart ready. And I came to this chapter in Job 42. And when he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. We're talking about a man who was righteous, man who had a great testimony. And he had heard about God all his life. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I've heard about God all my life. But then I saw God working. I saw what God wanted to do. I saw God moving in my life in ways he had never done before. And that's exciting. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for our church's life, that we see God answering prayers. We see God moving. We see God working. We see God making a difference. Now, I know it doesn't always happen with results that are physically seen. Sometimes they're just spiritual things. We see answers to prayer. We see peace. But there are many times when we see God answering a prayer. I could tell you a number of different times in my life as I have surrendered and I was willing to just take out steps of faith, how God just answered those prayers. And that's the idea of seeing God work, and hopefully you can say the same thing. You've seen God work in your life too. Another spot in Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We went over those Beatitudes last year when we were talking about blessed and what blessed looks like. They shall see God. If you're pure in heart, if you're seeking after him, God will manifest himself to you. You'll see God working. You'll see God moving in your life. On Thursday night of the missions conference, Brother Barnhouse was there and he was preaching. He was preaching about love. And so when I went home, I Googled. And lots of times when I want to look at a certain Bible topic, I'll type in KJV verses about. And so I typed in a Google search, KJV verses about loving God. And they give you a list of different things. There's a certain website I go to and I see it there and it doesn't always work. They don't always have lists for that. And I began looking through the list, studying through the list a little bit. And I came to John chapter number 14. And John chapter 14 gets encouraged me that day. And I pray it'll be an encouragement to you because there was a connection that was made to loving God and him manifesting himself to us. So if you like to write down the titles of the message, if you take notes, the title of this evening's message would be, "Will Manifest Myself to Him." Will manifest myself to him. It's about seeing God in your life, seeing God work. When's the last time you saw and something happened in your life and you said, you know what, that was a divine appointment. You know what, God helped me there. You know what, God answered that prayer. You know what, God provided that. And there are times like that. And those are times that I think sometimes it becomes so distant or so far apart, we think that they're unusual, but I believe it's what God really desires for our hearts and our lives on a regular basis. He wants to be real to you. He wants to be something that he's revealing and manifesting himself to you. So in the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, to give you a little context of what's happening here, Jesus has told him in chapter number 13, he went through the Lord's Supper with them. He tells them that I'm leaving, that you can't come. He tells them that one of them is going to betray him. He tells them that Peter's going to deny them. I mean, everything. He even pretty much says, you're all going to be ashamed of me this night. And they're going through all these things, and their hearts are really troubled. And that's what he says in verse number 1, let not thy heart be troubled. We mentioned that just briefly this morning. But what always has interested me in chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, is that these are important words. You think about it, if you're getting ready to die, and you know you're getting ready to die, many times what you'll do is you'll bring people around you that you know and that you love, and they'll bring them around the bed or bring them around the spot, and you're not going to be discussing frivolous things oftentimes. You're going to be sharing things to them that are important, that are needful, that are key to help those for the rest of their lives. And this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus knows the cross is coming tomorrow. Jesus knows everything's changing after tomorrow. Jesus knows everything. These disciples are getting ready to face probably three of the hardest days they've ever faced in their life. And they're questioning, they're discouraged, all those things. And he begins to teach them some wonderful things in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Amazing Bible study. These things are key. These are things that are most important. These are things that Jesus says, after tomorrow, everything's going to be different. What is the most important things that this group of disciples need? And there's a lot of different things he talks about, but one of the things he focuses on, it's love. Look what it says in verse number 21. Look what it says in verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and that next phrase, and will manifest myself to him. I thought about that when I was studying that this past week, and when I probably on the night of after Brother Barnhouse preached about love, that gets kind of spoke to my heart. It's, you know what? I want God to manifest himself. I want God to show me as he's working and moving in my life. I'm not talking about any type of mystical way, but I'm talking about how God speaks to our hearts, how he wants to lead us, how he wants to direct us, how he wants to be the one that is in control, sitting on the throne. He is someone that's real. It's not someone we just come to hear about or talk about on Sunday. He is someone I walk with, someone I talk with, someone who leads me, who directs me. He manifests himself to me. He demonstrates himself. So I'd like to take chapter 14. We're not going to look through the whole thing because we'd be here for hours. But we're going to lift up the verses that he specifically talks about love, at least some of them. And we're going to just point out a couple really important things. First thing I want you to think about is when we're talking about manifesting will manifest myself to him. I want you to see the proof of love. Look what it says in chapter 14. Look what it says in verse 15. Verse 15. Actually, it's pretty short. Let's read it all together. Make sure everybody's awake. Chapter 14, verse 15. Let's read it together. If you love me, keep my commandments. I don't know about you, but I probably wouldn't have wrote it that way. Think about it. He says, if you love me, there's one way you can show it. It's by keeping my commandments. You say, Pastor, does that mean if I'm not keeping his commandments that I don't love him? That's a good question. Let's go down to verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, and they're making sure you know that it's not Iscariot. He's already gone. He's already gone to be with the chief priests and the rulers to, tell him where Jesus is at. Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, some people give him a hard time about asking questions. I don't think Jesus is sad about questions. I think Jesus many times has some of the greatest responses ever because of the questions. And he was saying, Judas here, not Iscariot, thinking the manifestation is he's going to reveal himself as God and he is going to sit on that throne and overthrow Rome. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about revealing himself in a spiritual way, having eyes to see. He says, making himself known to the ones who love him, making himself known to those who are passionate about him. The love is the key to knowing and seeing Christ work in your heart and life. Verse 23 kind of answers that question. Is if I don't love him, does that mean, if I don't keep his commandments, does that mean I don't love him? Look what it says in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So I don't know about you, but when I read that, it says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So if we're not keeping his commandments, it says that at that moment, that time, we are not demonstrating love to God. Now, people love to hear, you know, I love Jesus. We love singing, I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. But what the scripture is teaching us, an important truth that I need to be reminded of, I think we all need to be reminded of, it is based off our keeping his commandments, that we demonstrate and show our love for him. I know that in a physical relationship with other people, we can demonstrate love to other ways. We can demonstrate love to an individual in a way that is different than with God. What are we going to give God that he doesn't have? How are we going to show and demonstrate our love to him? This is how. Now, I can show my wife love in different ways, but with God, he says the only way you really can show me that you love me is by keeping my commandments. If my wife came up to me and says, hey, the only way you can show that you love me is you got to keep my commandments, that wouldn't work. And just the reality is, that's not the way that you demonstrate and show your love. Now, you show your compassion, you show your love by choosing and helping. I know some people, when we made that illustration about the husband that's waiting for his wife to get home and waits to the last minute, like I would do if my wife went away, probably when she goes away for the retreat that Thursday and comes home that Saturday, I'll ask her, hey, what time are you coming home? Even say, why don't you give me a call before you leave? It's not because I'm really interested in her being careful and safe on the way home. I want to know when she's going to get home because I got to go pick up and clean up the house a little bit. It's not because not because I'm afraid of her, but because I appreciate her and I love her. And I know that means something to her. And I can demonstrate that love to her because I know it means something to her. And because it means something to her, that shows that that's the way I love her. And she hopefully appreciates that. Now, she probably would appreciate if I kept it right Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but she'll never know that. But God does, though. Reality is, he specifically says it. And I wouldn't word it this way. If in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I wouldn't have said it that way because of the fact that sometimes we don't keep our commandments. But he is reminding us something. He is putting a connection here. If you really, truly love me, then you will keep my commandments. And it's not just one or two. He's saying all of them. It's an interesting verse also in verse 31. The few verses we're going to look at tonight is 15, 21 through 24, which we already looked at. But look at what it says in verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So if you were taking notes, I would tell you the proof of love, the product of love, the perplexity of love, and then also the partiality found in love, but the pattern of love is the last point, but it's what we see here in verse 31. Jesus gives us pattern here. He's saying that the world may know that I love the Father. He's not saying, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he's not willing to keep the commandments of the Father. He's setting us an example. Sort of like if you had a mate, and I know sometimes husbands will not love their wife as Christ loved the church, and they'll expect complete, total obedience from their wives, but they will not demonstrate that to God. And it's something that it's messed up. And it's a flawed thinking. And it's like, you better keep my commandments. But he doesn't keep the commandments of the Lord. That there's something wrong there. And so when we come here, Jesus gives us a pattern of love. He loved the Father. He showed it by keeping the Father's commandments. Christ's obedience is not only a pattern, but it proves to the world that His love is for the Father. And so if we're looking for a pattern in love, we see Jesus, he had always done his Father's business. He was always done his Father's will. I know he's Trinity. He and the Father are one. So he's kind of, you know, how does that, what does that look like? How does that, he's giving us a perfect example. He did all that the Father wanted him to do. And that's what he's saying here. The world knows that I love the Father because I've done everything he's told me to do. And the world will know that we love him when we keep his commandments. And one of his commandments is that we love one another. So I know there's out there, and there's people out there that would tell you in a fleshly way. And I know sometimes people, you know, guys or girls try to get somebody, especially younger age, if you love me, you'll do this. Don't ever listen to somebody try to get you to do something unbiblical. It's wrong. It's not the person you need to be with. You should not have to prove and demonstrate your love to another individual, especially someone that you're not married, by doing something you feel uncomfortable with or that's wrong. I mean, that's just, you don't want to be around people that are like that. But we're talking about a perfect love, that there's a God, that the only way we can truly show how much we love him is not by just saying it, because people say it all the time. People say it and they don't mean it. People will say one thing with their mouths, but their hearts are far from them. The Bible is filled with illustrations like that. Our lives are probably filled with illustrations like that. Oh, I love the Lord. And then we go out and we don't keep his commandments. And we think, oh, of course I still love God. But he's teaching us a powerful lesson when he says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. So let's look at a couple of things. The first thing I want you to see, the proof of the love, it's found in verse 15, found in verse 21. It's pretty obvious. We've already gone over it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So the proof of our love is obedience to God. Love for God is the most important love of all. And that's how we display our love for him. Most people disobey the divine commandments. Why is that? It's because they lack and they struggle with this love for God. It says it right there. It's always a love issue. It's a love heart issue. Second thing I want you to think about is the product of love. The product of love. And when you consider the product of love, there's three different words I like you to think about. The first one is the reciprocation. Christ lists three different things that will be a product for a love of him. This is things that will happen as we love the Father. Look what it says in verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So this does not mean that God will not love us until we begin to love Christ. If that was the case, then for God so loved the world would be out the door. But what it's saying here, it means that the love of God will be better experienced. It will be better realized when we love Christ. When we truly learn to follow his commandments and keep his commandments, that is when we will begin to understand how much God loves us. A man may really, really, or a girl might really, really love an individual, but until the other person reciprocates that, they're never going to truly understand or experience the love that each other can have. Think about it. We'll use my wife as an example. If I was sit there and I was madly in love with my wife, and or before we got married, and she didn't care at all about me, you know, you turn around, you sit there, and then it's not until she reciprocates that love then I understand what that love looks like. And that's what he's saying here, is that when we learn, if a man love me, he will keep my words. When you learn to keep the words of God, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He is saying that is when we realize the love of God, we will better experience and realize it when we keep his commandments. The second thing I want you to think is not only reciprocation, think about the manifestation. It says it in verse 21. It's my favorite part of the message. It's the one that kind of draws my heart to it, because I want to see God work. I want to see God move. And he says, there's a connection here. You love God, I'll manifest myself to him. I'll make myself real to you. Christ will make himself known to the one who loves him. Love is the key to knowing Jesus Christ. Some knowledge we can gain whether we love the subject or not, but spiritual knowledge will be very limited unless you love God. Unless you're willing to keep his commandments, you're going to be very limited in seeing God work in your heart and life. And look what it says at the end of verse number 21. He says, and will manifest myself to him. Who's going to get God manifests. Christ is going to manifest himself to? Is that he that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved to my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Manifestation of Christ will manifest myself to him. If we want to see God work, there's a connection. If we want to see Christ moving in our life, we must learn, I need to love God. In order to understand and the manifestation of Christ. Next thing is the association. Look what it says in verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Love will result in fellowship. If you do not have much fellowship with God, you need to check your love for him. He's saying, look, if you love me, God is interested in this fellowship. God is interested in this relationship. God wants to grow closer to you. But he says, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. It's us that is limiting our relationship with God. We are as close. We are as close. I remember hearing an evangelist say this for the first time, and it stuck in my mind. You are as close to God as you want to be tonight. You are as close to God as you want to be tonight. There is nothing that's stopping you from getting closer to him. You can learn more about him. You can pray more about him. You can meditate more on him. You can love him more. You can follow his commandments more. There is nothing that is stopping you from getting closer with God. God desires that intimate fellowship. And that kind of just is stuck with me. The truth is, I'm as close to God as I want to be. He said, well, no, I really want to be closer to God. Learn to love him better. Learn to keep his commandments. Learn to do these things. If this is really what you're desiring, he says there is a reciprocation you'll never understand until you start loving him like you should. There is a manifestation that's available to you that he is willing to work and make himself real in your life, but it will never happen until you're willing to truly love him and keep his commandments. And there's an association that's there. He is willing to come, as it says, to come unto him and make our abode with him. It's talking about abiding with us. There's a perplexity there, a perplexity about love. Judas, not Iscariot, asked the question in verse 22. He says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Judas did not understand how the product of love, which involved manifestation Christ, would work. Even Philip, if you go down to verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He didn't get it. Philip messed it up. He mixed it up. He says, look, if you just show us the Father, we'll be happy. He's trying to negotiate with God. You can't negotiate with God. God, he's saying, if you want the manifestation of Christ, it's going to happen while you're willing to love him like you should. Judas was not thinking of a personal manifestation, but instead of a dramatic public showing of Christ, such as someone overthrowing Rome and setting up the kingdom. But he could not perceive how Christ could do the public manifestation without the world seeing. And it's the idea that Judas just wasn't listening well. What he's saying is, I will manifest myself to him. It means that God can manifest himself to a husband, but not to a wife if the husband's loving the Lord and seeking after the Lord. God can make himself real to a person in a church, and the rest of the church even just miss it altogether. It's when we learn how to love him and keep his commandments. And I think about the partiality of his love. Look again once in verse number 23, and I like this, because Christ's response to him was simply to continue in his teaching about the special blessing. There's a blessing that comes. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Those who love God and keep his commandments will receive special treatment from God. He said, what do you mean special treatment? As you grow closer to him, he's going to be able to manifest to himself. He's going to be able to bless you. Those who think they can live like the devil and still get the same treatment from God, those who think that they can just sit there and sin, even as a believer, and continue in sin, and that their fellowship is not going to be broken, it's not going to happen. And that's what he's saying, if you'll get this right, if you'll love me, if you'll abide with me. And that's when he comes in chapter 15. It's the same message, the same group of disciples he's talking about. And he's talking about abide in me and I in you. And he talks about being I in the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. There's a partiality there. If you're abiding in Christ, guess what? He's going to be able to produce fruit in your life. He's going to be able to bless you. But if you're not abiding in Christ, it's saying that you're going to shrivel up. And it's saying, he talked about every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. There's a partiality there. Does that mean he loves you more than he loves someone else? No, but he's going to be able to work in your heart and life and demonstrate certain things in your life when you learn to love him and keep his commandments, unlike those that are being stubborn and hard-necked. The fifth thing is the thing that we already mentioned, is the pattern of love. I love that in the end of verse number 31. I never really saw that until I began reading and studying. Jesus is like, the world knows I love the Father. I talk about the Father. It's all about the Father. And everything he commands me to do, that's what I do. So in our lives today, in our Christian lives, and our journeys with the Lord, is he real to you? Do you really see him working? Like I said, I love sitting there, and I love hearing the missionaries talk. I love hearing about how the Macs didn't know what they're going to do with their car, and then someone just gave them a car. It's not just because they got something that was physical. It's the fact that they had a request, and God answered that request. And it's awesome. Today, I had something that was going on in my heart in Sunday school class, and God answered that request. You know, even before the Sunday morning service was over, there was something that needed to kind of get fixed and right, and God worked that out. And it's amazing when you see God answer the prayers, your eyes open up. You're like, wow, God is good. God can work. When you see someone you invite come to church, or when you have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, or when God uses you to be a blessing that you never, ever knew that the person even had a need. There is times in your life where you see God connect the dots and you're like, yes, God is working. I'm excited about that. He is manifesting himself to us. Remember what the Bible say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It can't be being distracted like we talked about this morning. Take heed. Don't let these things trouble you. Take heed. Watch. Because once you become distracted, once your heart is filled with so much else, you're never going to truly see God. But when you say, I want to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind, and you know what? I want to see God work, and I'm willing to put everything into it because I love him above everything else supreme. He is number one in my life. God says, that's someone I can work with. That's someone I can abode with. That's someone I can manifest myself to. But I think most of us are probably more like the chapter 24 one, where we're getting hit kind of hard saying, you know what? You don't really love God if you don't keep his commandments. We're like, man, is that really true? Is he reading that right? Because I really think I love God, even though I don't want to keep this commandment. Who are you to tell me that I don't love God when I don't keep his commandments? I didn't say it. He said it. And it's a challenge. And that's what it's just kind of opened my eyes last Thursday when Brother Barnhouse was talking about loving the Lord and all those other things. And it came down to this when I read through that passage. If I really love God, I'm not going to struggle with that commandment. And if I don't keep that commandment, there means something wrong with my love. I need to work on that. So is there something tonight we need to work on when it comes to us loving him? Well, how do you love him more? I think the more you know him, the better you love him. I don't know about you, but the more I know about God, the more I understand about him, the more I begin to love him. And there's plenty of passages in the scriptures that talk about loving God. But nothing more clear in my mind than, if you love me, keep my commandments. It starts with saying, God, I know your commandments. I love you. And even though I might not always agree with all of them, I'm going to obey them because I love you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, you're so good to us. Help us tonight. Lord, I hope that this was a reminder, an encouragement, an exhortation, but also a conviction, a correction. Now, I know there were some things in my life that you spoke specifically about. If you're struggling with keeping this commandment, it means you're struggling with how much you love me. And Lord, I love you. And Lord, I want to deal with those things that I struggle with. And Lord, I'm reminded even tonight that when I struggle with keeping a commandment, there's something wrong with how much I love you. And I need to love you more. Lord, thank you for that proof of love. Also, love, thank you for what happens when we love you, the partiality, the blessed life, the blessings of God, that you abode with us, Lord, that you manifest yourself. Thank you for the, Lord, that you showed us the pattern too. You listened to the Father. You even gave the example. The world saw that you loved him. Why? Because you kept his commandments. Lord, I pray, and I know there's probably some, if not majority, that would say I'm struggling with a certain commandment. I'm struggling with maybe my giving, maybe with my relationships with others, my faithfulness, my love for other people, being a witness. There's certain things, Lord, I'm just struggling with. Lord, would you impress upon our hearts? It's a love matter. And if we truly love you, according to your word, we're going to keep your commandments. They're not going to be grievous to us. Instead, we'll do it gladly. Lord, help us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.